But at the end of the day, you're still looking for somebody, a patient who is in need of services, wants to come to your clinic or center and wants to be treated the way they should be treated, and then wants to be taken care of by the right physicians and be able to follow through and make sure that they feel good about coming to this, because they need something that we can deliver to them.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Abu Bakar at Summit Health. He's the Chief Information and Digital Officer at Summit Health. As context, not long after CityMD hired Abu in 2019, global private equity firm Warburg Pincus invested in CityMD, which merged with Summit Health, creating a healthcare provider with 6,400 employees and nearly 200 locations in New York and New Jersey. At Summit, Abu has been mentoring and managing 200 staff and a $75 million budget. And as an aside, recently, Walgreens-backed VillageMD announced its plans to buy Summit Health in a $9 billion deal. More on that later. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the organization became the leading testing provider in New York City. Abu, you led the charge to develop web and mobile applications to support no-touch check-in and a patient portal that permitted CityMD to support twice as much online traffic. The first question I'd like to pose to you, Abu, would you please tell our listeners about your experience creating a digital front door for Summit Health with your mobile app, and how you've been using that platform to engage over 30,000 daily active users, effectively replacing your EHR portal, at least for those users, with your app?
Yeah, I mean, we launched our first digital app last year in June, and I think we're pleased with the performance. We had about 16 months, we have almost a million downloads for it, and about 700,000 active patients using it. We average about 8,000 to 15,000 daily active users on it. It is probably one of the first step for us to get into the digital front door. It allows the patients to be able to self-serve their information, be able to look up their results or pay their bills or do virtual appointments, schedule appointments, all that stuff. So I think this is a great first step. Obviously, we're looking forward to enhance it and even make it even bigger and better. As we know, our patient volumes have grown significantly. We saw 7 million patients last year alone. So I think we have our capacity to expand this is probably enormous. And then we're going to continue to do that. And we're going to continue to use that for not just for urgent care, but also for multi-specialty.
What were some of the challenges of setting up this digital front door? Once you decide, you know, you have a huge influx of volume with the COVID testing that was unexpected, and you have to find a way to cope with that crisis, as all of your colleagues who are now listening to this episode also had to deal with. You decided, all right, we got to go full in with this digital front door. Now what?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge, obviously, with any of these technology related projects is to how do we make sure that it is easy and the experience of the patients is as seamless as possible. We don't want to create tools and technology for the sake of creating technology. We want to add the value and add the convenience for them. So we spend a lot of time trying to figure out if we can do this, how will that help the patient experience? And I think the idea is to give them the experience in their hands and the tools where they can do the stuff they on their own time, on their own place, on their own device, in the way that we want it to. So I think people are expecting and patients are expecting that's to be delivered to them, rather than they just have to call the call centers and this. Our volumes are so high that we needed a better tool which could be self-serving. So just to give you an idea of when we did millions of COVID tests and a lot of millions of rapid COVID tests, which leads to results in about 15 minutes, we are able to deliver that. They come in, walk in, get the test done in 20 minutes in the app, they will have the results. They don't have to wait in the clinic. They don't have to wait for the email to come in. In about 20 minutes, we deliver those results back to the patient. So they feel that they don't have to wait for a day to get the results back. They don't have to go somewhere. They don't have to call somebody. I think this is the new way of delivering care. And I think everybody understands that healthcare is something that somewhere that we have always lacked a little bit on the patient experience. I think we are making huge steps forward, leaping forward to it. And this is COVID has accelerated a lot of this digital stuff. I think it is paying a huge, huge dividends for us.
So Abu, since we do have a very technical audience, your peers listening to this episode, I'd like to ask you to delve deeper into what technically was required and what organizationally and operationally was required in your game plan to lead to the point where patients could get those results in the app in 20 minutes. Is that what you're using, the integration engine? Were there challenges with merging different data from different sources? What exactly did you, I think many different CIOs can say, yes, we want to improve patient experience. We want to be very seamless. What are some of the challenges you had to overcome, and what was your path forward to get to a point where you could get that desired outcome?
Yeah, I mean, I think I say that all the time in my career to say we work very hard to make it look easy. And that's the mantra that we have to do. So people don't, I mean, in order to deliver what we have to deliver, there is a lot of stuff that has to happen behind the scenes. We have to be able to have the infrastructure in place to handle this volume. We have to have the data available from disparate systems to be able to deliver this thing. We use, obviously, we have our EMR systems is Athena, and then our core integration and data, clinical data hub is InterSystems. We use those technology to connect and be able to process these things in real time and be able to available, whether it's propagate to their call centers or propagate to our apps. So this is the massive effort behind the scenes, but it looks so simple from the front end to say, I can go in and open an app and I see the result. But yes, there is a lot of complexity that happens behind the scenes. There's a lot of data aggregations. There's a lot of patients matching that has to happen to make sure that the correct results are going to the correct patients. So we have the Employee Master Patient Index, which we use in systems for it. We have a lot of data aggregation that happens. We have a lot of interfaces that runs from different systems to make this happen. And then obviously all has to be done in almost real time to deliver the experience that we need. So yes, there's a lot of complexity behind, but we don't want to talk about the complexity. We want to make it sound so easy for everyone.
So let's talk about mergers and acquisitions, since that's what's on many people's minds these days. I'd like to ask you first about the past, about Summit's acquisition of CityMD with the infusion of private equity funds and how that affected the data landscape in your ambulatory care setting. After that, I'd like to ask you to talk about how that process has differed so far with your experience with VillageMD. But first, a few years ago.
3 years ago, just a little bit of a correction that Warburg is the private equity owner, but they invested in CityMD first. They took that majority stake and then they invested in Summit Medical Groups and we merged. And that became Summit Health. So it was a merger between CityMD and Summit owned by Warburg, both the companies. 3 years ago, we did this merger. Obviously, with any mergers of this size, which are almost like an equal size mergers, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a technology piece to it, but there's an even bigger and better thing to do first is the people side of things. So we always have to look at to see how we align the leadership, how do we align the people, and then how do we align the systems and the tools and processes with it. We did the same thing as we do. We have a playbook now that we do how we do these mergers because we're constantly acquiring new practices. We have done this quite a bit, small, medium, and large. And we have a process that we put in place to say, once we get through the initial planning phase to how we're gonna integrate the people, leadership, and the teams. That's the first thing. And then after that, we put together the full roadmap to how these systems and dispositions work. So say you pick a list of everything that is available in both companies and what works well for each company. And then we decide and compare, and then we make a decision where we need to integrate or whether we need to dispose one over the other, or do we need to leave it on its own, because there's always merits and pros and cons for each one of them. And then we need to make those decisions based on the business outcomes and business strategy, and obviously keeping the patients in the center of all of this. It's like, how would that help integrate the companies together. So we have gone through this. We have now, we are about a 13,000 people strong company growing. And obviously we're going to continue to do not just by mergers and acquisition, but just organic growth by opening a lot of different hubs and centers and ancillaries and labs and everything else. So we're on a constant warpath to grow.
I think many CIOs in our audience may be interested in hearing what's actually been going on in your mind as you're determining which programs to integrate, which to dispose of, and which to leave alone. Can you give us insight into your thought processes?
Yeah, I think these are very detailed sessions that happens at the teams level. We try not to make a judgmental decision to say, we acquired you, so we would use this system over the other. It's just more of a merit-based. We compare the features, we compare the impact, we compare the scope, we compare the effectivity of what those tools are. And sometimes we end up using the tools and the processes from the acquired company. Sometimes we use it from an acquiring company. So it's not a black and white, we came in, we did this because we acquired you, we're going to use everything that we have. We compare those solutions and then we make the decisions and then we create the roadmap. And it usually takes, for a larger acquisition, it could take from 12 to 18 months. For a smaller ones, it takes from 3 to 6 months.
So how has the process of merging Summit and CityMD been different from what you expect the process may be like with VillageMD?
VillageMD is, again, we're not closed or we just announced the signing of the deal. So it's not much we can talk about VillageMD at this point because we just announced that they have decided to sign the contract. At this point, we haven't even closed the deal. So I don't know if there's much to say about that. As far as CityMD, we went through the same process, go look at which ERP systems are better, which EMR systems are better for us in the future, how is this one will grow. And then we made those decisions through working with a lot of partnerships with clinical and operational leadership. So obviously they are key stakeholders for all of this. And collectively we make those decisions. And then obviously we as an IT do what we do best is execute and plan and roll out and adopt and do all the change management for it. But the clinical and operational leaderships are the key stakeholders before we make those decisions.
So Abu, you do have an interesting background, and I think many listening may not be aware of where you've been before you were at CityMD. You were in retail largely at Liz Claiborne, Vineyard Vines, Barney's of New York, and Chobani, a yogurt company, essentially. I mention this because there's been a lot of forays of retail chains into healthcare. You have Amazon, Walmart with VillageMD, Best Buy Health. We've had previous episodes on Healthy Data Podcast about this very topic. I wonder what your experience has been transitioning from retail into healthcare, and perhaps more interest to our listeners is kind of coming full circle with potentially this deal with Walmart VillageMD acquiring it, and you're kind of going back into retail while remaining in healthcare. Can you talk to our listeners about the nuances and the differences, motivations, and what you kind of your expectations are moving forward?
Yeah, just another correction. It's not Walmart, it's Walgreens. Walgreens obviously have a major stake in the VillageMD, and the VillageMD and Summit Health is the one that we are in the middle of the transaction right now. Transition from retail to healthcare. I spent 16 years in retail and done a lot of work in retail. We were able to do some major high impact work. And after 16 years, I decided that I wanted to move out of retail and do something different. And that's where I joined Chobani, which is a great brand, great product. Something that it was very, very interesting at that point. And then I decided after spending a few years, that's not what I want to spend the rest of my career, because manufacturing is not something that I was particularly, obviously very interesting and exciting to do all this production work and plant and all this stuff, but that's not something that I was very particularly passionate about. But a healthcare opportunity came in. They were looking for somebody from a non-healthcare background, but with a retail, and I think that works perfectly fit into what I do. I spent a lot of time working in the retail, and I understand how the how do we deal with building loyalties? How do you bring building, creating experiences? How do I build using technology to drive patient satisfaction or customer satisfaction? So I've done a lot of that work in the past. And then how do you actually take these things into multimodal deliveries? Like in retail 20 years ago, nobody thought we would be able to sell this stuff, like a fashion stuff online, but you know what? Everybody's selling everything online and still working. Who would have thought we will sell large appliances and fashion products and all that stuff, but it's all happening. And healthcare is not any different from that side. Plus there's some special nuances to healthcare, obviously. There's a lot more concern, a lot more attention has to be done on the privacy issues, and plus you're dealing with people's health. So there's obviously heightened concerns there. But at the end of the day, you're still looking for somebody, a patient who is in need of services, wants to come to your clinic or center and wants to be treated the way they should be treated, and then wants to be taken care of by the right physicians and be able to follow through and make sure that they feel good about coming to this. Because they need something that we can deliver to them. So I think from a customer slash patient journey side, it is similar. And it is something that I always say healthcare is still a little lagging behind the other industries when it comes to retail or financial. What healthcare is doing today is what some of these other industries were doing 15, 20 years ago. I mean, you used to go to the teller and now you use the app for it. I think 15 years ago, there was no app in the financial services. Now you have an app, so you don't have to go to deposit a check. So I think this is where healthcare is. When I made the decision, an intentional decision, that I want to spend the next 10 years in healthcare, is I truly believe the next decade is going to be the true healthcare delivery transformation. And I truly believe in that, because I think the reason why it's going to happen first is the patients are going to demand it, and it's going to get used to it. This is what happened in the other industries, and it's going to happen here. It's going to be a matter of who wins that competition to say who's delivering the best care and who's delivering the best experience. Care is always going to be the most important thing, and then the experience will come right after it. Technology 15, 20 years ago was different than what it is today. So healthcare has a huge advantage to leapfrog it, because the things that you were thinking and you thought you would be able to do in other industries 20 years ago were not possible or were not scalable, and now are in the reach, are in the you can do that using technology. So I think you're in a better spot, because if you're coming from behind, you can leapfrog it. So technology will help you take this even more further ahead than other industries. A lot of different AI stuff and all the stuff. This was 20 years ago. There was still in infancy. Now it's much more matured and proven that it works. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for healthcare to change the delivery for the better. At the end of the day, it's one patient at a time. You have to take care of the patient. That's the center of everything. But everything around it has to be better, has to move better. You cannot just walk into a clinic and have to fill out these paper forms and fill it out again next time when you come in and then come back. And I don't know what I'm paying for it. All that experience piece will transform in the next 10 years.
So Abu, we are approaching the end of this podcast episode, and we've been speaking about patient centricity, consumerism, catering to a seamless patient experience, and kind of bringing the patient-centered journey almost as a customer-centric journey from retail into healthcare. Last question, as we wrap up this episode, I think many of our listeners may be wondering how they can replicate your success. What would you say to them?
I think if you're talking about more about a healthcare specific, I strongly encourage everyone who has been in the industry, who's been doing this thing. You have a tremendous advantage of knowing what the healthcare is, but then you also have this a disadvantage to think this is the only way to do it. Think outside the box, challenge yourself, challenge everyone else around you. Obviously not impacting the care, not impacting the privacy and compliance rules, but there's a lot you can do to change. So think outside the box a little bit. The traditional way of delivering care may not be what it will be in the next 5 to 10 years, and you got to get in front of it. You don't want to be the Toys R Us of the world in the retail, and you don't want to be the ones that are fall behind. The reason, I'll give you a quick example. CityMD is a 10-year-old company. It has 164 urgent care centers now. They are in the prime spot in the most dense population market in the country, New York City. We saw almost 7 million patients. They're on the city. Where were they? They were in different health systems. They were going everywhere else. We give them, the patients, what they wanted, a quick, convenient, fast access to walk-in centers so they can take care of what they need to do rather than going and waiting for the appointment. So we can going to the ER for stuff that they don't need to go for the ER. We just give them the opportunity to do something, offer them something different, and everybody just gravitated and moved into it. So you got to find your differentiator. You got to find your niche. Challenge yourself. The way that you have done it in the past may not be the way you want to do it in the future. And always take care of the patients first.
Thank you. This has been Abu Bakar, the Chief Information and Digital Officer at Summit Health. Abu, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.